Good morning, everybody. Thank you for being here on this beautiful fall day to share the Dharma together. These Dharma talks or teishos or whatever you want to call them are an attempt by the teacher to, or whoever is giving the talk, to express the Dharma in words as directly as possible. Of course, it's not completely possible, but we do the best we can. And sometimes they may seem obscure or a little abstruse or even heretical. But that's the nature of Zen Buddhism. It's by its very nature a heresy to any dogma or doctrine. So don't worry about trying to make sense about everything that's said. Just let the words flow by. And someday, maybe years from now, something will make sense, or not. There are so many extraordinary and wonderful things in this life. There was a full moon last night. The sunset this morning. The laugh of a child. To walk alone and silent in the mountains, or in a park, or in the local Walmart. Layman Pong said, "My miracle is cutting wood and drawing water." What is it that makes the ordinary extraordinary? What creates the miracle? It is to see this ordinary day-to-day world with truly open eyes. To see it with eyes that are not blinded by opinions, judgments, and not by knowing, not even by the delusion of cause and effect. Cause and effect is the killer of miracles. Today we'll look at case number 26 in the Beyond Lu, the Blue Cliff Record. A monk asked Bai Zhang, "What's the most extraordinary thing?" Zhang answered, "Sitting alone at Da Xiong Peak." The monk bowed, whereupon Bai Zhang struck him. Bai Zhang, along with Nan Chuan and Da Mei, was a Dharma heir of the redoubtable Ma Zu. Bai Zhang's most famous disciple was Wang Bo, whose disciple in turn, Lin Ji, is the father of the Lin Ji or Rinzai House of Zen, one of the three surviving schools of modern Zen Buddhism. Very few details are known of his life, but Bai Zhang is given the major credit for clearly distinguishing the Chan or Zen school from other Buddhist sects. And he also developed the first coherent set of rules to govern the monastic life. A monk asked Bai Zhang, "What's the most extraordinary thing?" The most extraordinary thing. What is the way? What is the meaning of Bodhidharma's coming from the West? What is the great truth of things? What goes beyond insight, kensho, even enlightenment? What goes beyond seeing, hearing, touching? What goes beyond life and death, cause and effect? The manner in which the question is put here tells us something about this monk. He's no naive beginner. These two are well matched. As the commentator Yen Wu puts it, Bai Zhang was ordinarily like a tiger with wings. Nor does the monk shun birth and death. He dares to grab the tiger's whiskers and asks, "What's the extraordinary affair?" This monk too has eyes. Zhang answered, "Sitting alone at Da Xiong Peak." Da Xiong Peak is the mountain where Bai Zhang's retreat was located. Another translation has it, "I sit alone on this great sublime peak." Interesting. Bai Zhang, on the high seat before the assembly of several hundred monks, nevertheless, sits alone. He could just as well have said, "I sit alone on Mount Sumeru. I sit alone on this rock, in this chair. I sit alone on this zafu and mat." What is it to sit alone on the great sublime peak? Each one of us sits alone in this moment, as this moment, on that sublime peak. What is the space that our lives occupy? Is it only the length and breadth of this body? Is it the extent of the reach of our arms? Is it all the places that we have been throughout our lives? Or is it something greater? To think of space in terms of miles or leagues or light years is still to limit what has no limits. No limits both ways, not in its greatness nor in its smallness. The largest is the smallest too. Here limitations have no place, says Sung San in the verse on the faith mind. What is the time that our lives occupy? Is it from the moment of our birth to the moment of our death? The Buddha said that a person's life extends from the beginning of an inhalation to the end of an exhalation. Or does it extend from the Big Bang to the final collapse of the universe? Or does it extend even beyond that? Think of time in terms of minutes, hours, or eons is again to limit what has no limits. For something to exist requires time and space. For something not to exist requires time and space. If we understand the illusory nature of time and space, we understand the illusory nature of existence and non-existence. I sit alone, I walk alone, I stand alone, I eat alone. I live and die alone. But the only way I can say that is if I can also say, throughout heaven and earth, I am the only one. This could sound like an incredibly egotistical thing to say. And it is, if a person says it. But it is a great truth if it arises out of Zazen, where no person can go. When that phrase was uttered in India some 2,500 years ago, no one said it It was Buddha nature coming forth, alone, impersonal, the lion's roar of the Dharma. Does that ever happen now? All the time. In your chanting, pay close attention. In your walking, sitting, breathing, pay close attention. You will find that there is only chanting, only walking, only sitting, only breathing. Nothing before, nothing after, nothing other. By Zhang, you, each one of us, stands alone in this timeless, spaceless reality, which we cannot even name. To be alone on Dashyong Peak is to be alone in all space and all time. It is to be alone as all space and all time. It is to be alone, but not lonely. It is to be solitary, but not alienated. It is to be self-sufficient, but not uncaring. It is to be unattached, but still to come forth as compassion. All of this sounds very exalted. Maybe not even human. But consider case number 17 in the Blue Cliff Record. A monk asked Xiang Lin, "What is the meaning of Bodhidharma's coming from the West?" Xiang Lin said, "I am tired from sitting so long." Is this so different from sitting alone on Dashyong Peak? The hard reality of sitting long hours on the mat, in or out of Sesshin, sore knees, stiff back or neck, a mind that doesn't want to settle down. All that happens on Dashyong Peak as well. It's part of the work. And it is the work, the practice, that's important. The insights, the aha moments, even samadhi, are icing on the cake. Results are not our concern. Knowing that we sit alone, even as the Buddha sat alone under the tree, is to take full responsibility for our practice. The monk bowed. He bowed. There are so many instances of a monk bowing to the teacher, or two monks bowing to each other. Is this just Chinese or Japanese etiquette, or is it something more? What is this bow? It is far more than just "Thank you for your teaching," or "Yes, I get it." And it certainly has nothing to do with worship. Far from being any sort of abasement, it is the expression of a mystical union. It is a reflection. It is a great amen. This bow is the monk reflecting by Zhang. It is his realization of Baizhang in the most intimate sense. Even as we bow, do raihai towards Buddha, it is Buddha bowing to Buddha. This is why bowing and raihai are so important in our liturgy. We bow towards Buddha, Buddha bows to Buddha. We bow to each other, Buddha bows to Buddha. There's a delightful story of a Thanksgiving ceremony in Rochester years and years ago. For this particular ceremony, someone brought a live turkey into the zendo. It was one of those huge, colorful tom turkeys. And as Kaplo Roshi delivered a teisho on a Buddhist appreciation of Thanksgiving, this huge bird strutted slowly and majestically around the Buddha hall. At the end, Kaplo Roshi said, "Buddha bows to Buddha, turkey bows to turkey." And of course, he bowed. Yen Wu writes, "This monk's bowing was not the same as ordinary bowing. He had to have eyes before he could do this." Yeah, the monk had eyes. He truly saw Baizhang. He truly saw Buddha. Whereupon, Baizhang hit him. Well, once a koan has been seen into, it's no longer a koan. Time to move on. The trap of working with koans is once you have seen into it, is to start noodling around with it intellectually, kind of like I'm doing here. In our koan curriculum, we have something like 550 cases that we work on. With some, we scratch the surface. With some, we plumb to the bottom. But once you have demonstrated the core of the case, move on. Later, you come back and appreciate them more deeply. There is always something more to discover. But Zazen remains the heart of our practice, on the mat, in our lives. We let go of everything we know or think we know. We enter Zazen. We enter silence. And it is from the depths of that silence that we see the extraordinary thing every moment. A little while ago, a member sent me a DVD of a remarkable movie entitled, "Why Has Bodhidharma Left for the East?" Of course, this is just a reverse way of asking what is the meaning of Bodhidharma's coming from the West. It's a meditation on film. It clearly shows the ordinary as extraordinary. A cup being set down on a stone. A match being struck. A bird in flight. The opening and closing of a door. The camera itself became the open eye, doing what we do in our practice. Open up to the smallest sounds and sights, the most subtle sensations in this timeless, spaceless, causeless moment. To sit alone on Dashung Peak is to sit with all the sights and sounds of the universe in all its largeness and all its smallness, to sit as the universe. Baizhang sits. How extraordinary. The monk bows. How extraordinary. Baizhang hits him. Extraordinary. What is the most extraordinary thing? I know you've all heard this before, but here it is again. Walt Whitman's answer. Why, who makes much of a miracle? As to me, I know of nothing but miracles. Whether I walk the streets of Manhattan, or dart my sight over the roofs of houses toward the sky, or wade with naked feet along the beach, just in the edge of the water, or stand under trees in the woods, or talk by day with anyone I love, or sleep in the bed at night with anyone I love. or sit at table at dinner with the rest, or look at strangers opposite me riding in the car, or watch honeybees busy around the hive of a summer forenoon, or animals feeding in the fields, or birds, or the wonderfulness of insects in the air, or the wonderfulness of a sundown, or of stars shining so quiet and bright, or the exquisite, delicate, thin curve of a new moon in spring. These with the rest, one and all, are to me miracles, the whole referring, yet each distinct and in its place. To me, every hour of the light and dark is a miracle. Every cubic inch of space is a miracle. Every square yard of the surface of the earth is spread with the same. Every foot of the interior swarms with the same. To me, the sea is a continual miracle. The fishes that swim, the rocks, the motion of the waves, the ships with men in them. What stranger miracles are there? Together with all beings, we realize the way.